Hi friends, welcome to Java with Julie. My name is Julia and I live all the way here in Salvador, Brazil. I have been listening to Java with Julie and following the Authentic Intimacy Ministry for about 3 years, just after I got married. I love the way Dr. Julie is committed to God's Word and also to reclaim His design, His intention for sexuality. It has been a blessing for my marriage and also to my walk with the Lord. And I pray it happens for you as well. So grab your Java, because it's time for Java with Julie.
Welcome to Java with Julie. This is Julie Slattery, and this podcast is a production of Authentic Intimacy, a ministry dedicated to reclaiming God's design for sexuality. Hannah, thanks for joining me for this very touchy subject today.
Touchy? Was that a play on words?
Yes, it was.
You know, Julie, I all the time say, Julie, if you need anything, I'm here. I could do a podcast. I can help you with anything. I don't know if I should have clarified, like, maybe not on masturbation, yeah, if I'm going to have a preference.
I'm really challenging our friendship with this one.
Here I am. I know.
What a trooper.
I'm just honored that somehow I get to sit at the table with you for this. You're like, if I could have anyone on this.
Who do I feel most comfortable with?
Let's get Hannah at the table. So
there we go.
Apparently, you get the question a lot.
I do.
Of if it's okay to masturbate.
Yes.
This is a frequent question
you
hear.
So in most of my speaking events, we do a live Q&A where people will text in. And I don't think I've ever had an event where the question has not been asked. And
kind
usually
of a weird
it's asked
thing,
many,
it?
Many times. Yeah. I have a funny story about something that happened a few years ago. So it was during the pandemic and everybody's home. Everybody's working from home, going to school.
Yeah, the beginning of COVID when it was like everyone was home.
Right.
Shut down.
And so we were all in our little corners of our house doing homework and things. So the printer is in my office and one of my sons was doing online school and had to print out an assignment that he needed right then for that particular class period. And so I'm on a live Zoom call and he's like army crawling on the floor so that the Zoom camera
can't be on camera.
Yes, to get to the printer to get his homework. And at that very moment, the person interviewing me asks me about masturbation. And my poor son is just, I can't look back at him, but...
He's literally laying at your feet.
Right.
Trying to get the paper off the printer.
Like, this just couldn't be more awkward. So he heard my answer whether
my
he wanted
goodness.
To or not.
Oh, my word. Julie, that just feels like something that would happen on a sitcom or in a movie.
It does.
That you'd be like, that's not real life. That wouldn't really happen.
Yeah, it was real life. Oh, my poor goodness. Kids are so scarred because
that is
of what
truly,
I do.
That is one for the record books right there. I can just picture the army crawl, the hand sneaking up to get it off the printer.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, poor kid.
They're doing all right.
Yeah, they are. But.
So you really do get this question all the time.
I do.
Live events, on Zoom webinars, everywhere you go.
Yeah, I probably have answered it at least 50 or 60 times.
Wow.
And I've written blogs about it. We thought, hey, we've never really done a Java on the topic, so maybe
we
should.
So here we go, baby.
Yeah.
Masturbation. All right, give us the answer. Yes or no?
What's the question?
Is it okay?
Is it okay? Well, that's a complicated
question. This can be a short
question.
Episode. Just give us a yes or no. We'll wrap it up.
You know, people want a yes or no, but we're going to spend a whole episode on it because...
It's complicated.
Yeah. The Bible never mentions it.
It's not in the Bible.
No, it's not.
You cannot find the word.
No, you cannot. Now, you can find one episode that seems to be related to masturbation.
Interesting.
In the Old Testament.
Okay. Tell me more.
And it's the story of a guy named Onan.
Poor Onan.
I know.
That's what he's known for.
That is. I know. I've never met somebody who named their kid Onan.
A good reason.
Yes. So Onan's brother died.
Oh,
man. And by the custom and the law of that day, he had to marry his brother's wife, which is weird.
Yes.
And the reason that he would have to marry his brother's wife and actually impregnate her is so that the older brother's name and heritage can live on. So Onan marries the wife, but it says every time he had sex with his new wife, he would spill his seed.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that...
Which is another phrase we're allowed to use for masturbating. Is that true?
I don't
Spilling
know.
Seed.
I don't think women really spill seed, but yeah. So hang in there with us. We'll get there. But but so Onan is punished by God and actually dies because he will not carry on his brother's heritage. But a lot of people will call masturbation the sin of Onan with the implication of God may death. Kill you. But that's actually not what the story's about.
That's an intense story.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. So
now we know it's in the Bible in one spot that feels a little weird.
Yeah, but it's not really about masturbation.
Okay. The bigger picture going on there.
Yeah. Just to clarify, just in case you've heard of the sin of Onan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clear it from your minds.
Yeah. So we have answered this question, I think, in a few other interviews. I think I talked to Doug Rosenau about it, but we're going to dive more deeply into a theology of masturbation.
Dun, da, da, da.
I know. I don't think I've ever said that phrase before.
Okay, so then let's do it. So I feel like this is talked about always in this negative sexual sin way. So would you say, as we're getting into this conversation, I mean, do you think of masturbation kind of in the same category as like viewing porn, sexual fantasy, like this is clearly a sin?
It's often used in the same context as those things.
Okay.
And we might say, like, people that struggle with porn and masturbation, like, we say that together. Mm-hmm. But I think it is different because, first of all, the Bible doesn't speak to it. And we see that the scripture talks so intricately and not at all shyly about defining what sexual immorality is. And so the Bible does spell out things that are sexually sinful, and it doesn't say masturbation, which we have to say that, well, that's curious. Did they struggle with this back in biblical times?
And is this new?
I'm pretty sure they had figured it out back then. So
word had spread.
Yeah. So why did God not specifically address it? And when we talk about pornography or fantasy, the Bible does specifically address that. And Jesus says that it's not just what you do with your body that matters, but what you do with your mind. And on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you look at a woman lustfully, it's like you've committed adultery with her in her heart. And that's not just for men. He's essentially saying that where you go with your mind sexually is really important because it is the overflow of your heart of, am I thinking lustfully? Is sex all about consuming? Am I sexually objectifying people? And so with pornography and with fantasy, a fantasy that would involve somebody you're not married to, that is lusting. And the Bible is really clear about that. So the two are different things.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Julia, as I've heard you talk about this, write about this topic, as you kind of walk through it, you've talked through these different things that we do consider them. If it's not just yes or no, if it's not this clearly sexual sin in the Bible, how do we start to figure out what we do with this? And I've heard you talk about it being more, a cute phrase, of the thought that counts. Like how you're describing this verse from Sermon on the Mount, of our heart, our mind on the topic. So how do we start to think about that with masturbation?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, like just even giving some context of how I've wrestled through this topic, meeting so many people, primarily women, that would come up and talk to me and talk about the shame that's associated with masturbation for them. They haven't looked at porn, they haven't slept around, this is something they struggle with. And they just say, it's just an unbearable shame. I've never told anybody. I can't stop. And so that's a context I often hear about it in. Or, you know, even Christians giving the advice to masturbate before you go on a date so that there's no sexual tension there. I don't know if you heard that growing up.
I don't believe this. This is real advice that's given
some
out.
Some people give this advice out. Yes.
What a weird world.
It is a weird world. But then also, I think even in a more sober setting, people that have been sexually traumatized, particularly as children, their sexuality was awakened so young, and it's a way that they learn to soothe, to even just deal with some of the biological, neurological patterns that can come from early exposure to sexual things. And so if you have somebody who's struggling with this and experiencing so much shame, and it might be even tied to past trauma, just say, stop it. It's a sin. It's terrible. God hates it. for most people is going to just put more shame on it and actually make the struggle even more difficult. Mm-hmm. That's why I think we need a very nuanced understanding of how we address masturbation instead of just saying.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just realizing there's so many more layers connected to this than just a surface yes, no.
Right. Yeah. So there are a lot of things related to our heart. Like you mentioned, Hannah, this is really going back to what a heart issue. Mm-hmm. That's what God cares about. Our behaviors come from our heart. Mm-hmm. And so a couple things that I think are key is, first of all, what is going on in your mind? And we already kind of spoke to this, but often masturbation is paired with fantasy or with pornography or images of pornography that you've seen. Mm-hmm. And when that's the case, then we're clearly operating outside of God's design because we are being sexually aroused by somebody else, either real or imaginary. And again, that God is very clear about that, that that's not something that he wants us to engage in.
So that, in a way, makes the answer clear when you're seeing it paired with these other mm-hmm. areas of sin.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. There are some people, I think, particularly women, but also some men who would say, for me, this is a physical release and it's not paired with any sort of imagery. It's just a physical tension that builds up. For women, it can be related to their cycle. For men, it can just be a buildup of sperm where they're like, I just need a physical release. And some people would say that there's nothing wrong with that, particularly if it's not paired with any sort of fantasy or sexual image. Mm-hmm. Like, scripturally, is there anything wrong with that? And I don't see scripturally where there is something wrong with it. Even both men and women have sexual dreams, nocturnal emission. That happens to women too. We often don't talk about it. We just talk about it mm-hmm. for guys. But there is this sort of natural release that can happen. And we are sexual people. And so when it's that sort of situation, I think we need to go beyond asking the question, is this right or wrong? And really asking the question, how do I grow in my understanding or stewardship of how I really look at sexuality? Mm. So one way I put that is that I think for some people, masturbation is less an issue of morality. In other words, is it right or wrong? And more of an issue of maturity. Of
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So why the word maturity?
Well, because let's take, for example, comparing a 14 or 15-year-old kid
okay.
who has been exposed to pornography or been exposed to sexual trauma, or even just your normal 14 or 50-year-old kid. Compare that to a 35-year-old man or woman who's been walking with the Lord for a long time. Are the expectations of how we steward our sexual drives and desires different? Mm. What would you say?
I would hope so.
Yeah. You're a mom now. You're going to have to deal with these issues.
No, never. I'm never going to have to deal with this with my kids. No.
Yeah. you got some time.
They're just going to stay these cute little 3-year-olds forever.
Yeah. No, it's not going to happen that way.
No.
When an adolescent awakens sexually and they're confused by this, and if we just tell them, you know, don't do that, stop doing that, don't masturbate, they're so confused. You know, they're just trying to figure out who they are. What do you do with these desires? They don't understand the fullness of what intimacy is and what God designed sex to be. Even if they heard about it from a book or Sunday school or from their parent, they can't quite make those connections.
Yeah, it definitely just becomes, in this example you're giving, just this rule, like this thing I'm following without necessarily
right.
or should follow without these deeper
right.
connections behind it.
Yeah. And even the way their brains are wired, they don't have fully developed frontal lobes to even think through their desires and their impulse control. And generally, they don't have a deep relationship with God to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. And they also don't have the framework of, well, if God has given me all this sexual desire, part of the way I steward that is to pursue a covenant relationship, pursue marriage. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a 35-year-old, now you have somebody who has more physical maturity, more mental maturity, more self-control, more time to have developed a relationship with God, more of the ability to understand his purpose for sexuality, more of an avenue to even address wounds that might be feeding into that sexual desire and drive, and the opportunity to pursue relationship where they're working towards emotional intimacy and potentially working towards marriage. So
different picture.
It is
from
a
the 14,
picture.
15 year old. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like when we just put down rules and God wants you to do this or not do that, could it be that masturbation isn't the best thing, but maybe at times it could be a good thing for an immature person who's struggling with some of these desires and not sure what to do with them and doesn't want to walk in sin?
That is a question I've never considered or heard asked.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, when you start walking through these other questions connected to it, instead of just this yes, no, I understand why as you get this question, you say it's not just yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
There's all of these other pieces to consider.
Yeah.
So then are you saying if you're 14 and 15, you're good?
Well, I'm saying if you're 14 or 15, not just you're good, but how is that young person growing in maturity? And how are we as people that are parenting or discipling giving a bigger vision for what it is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and what it is to understand where sexual desire comes from and how it's twisted by the world and to understand God's view of his creation calling us to intimacy. And so it's not just, oh, you're good, that's fine, but it's, okay, that's where you are, but how do we begin to grow even more?
Which is beautiful, Julie, when we think about so many conversations you've helped us have around sexual discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Like this idea of taking this call and invitation of discipleship and applying it to sexuality, applying it within our families, within parenting, and what an example this is.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, is this true? Yes. It's easier to just say yes or no. Mm-hmm. It's easier to just say, hey, kid. Yeah. We don't do that.
Yeah.
And maybe awkward. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son's only 3, but I can only imagine to kind of really walk out some of these questions you're having.
Yeah.
And helping wrestle with it, mm-hmm. you know?
Or you could just have him observe a Zoom call.
Watch this video, my cousin.
There you go.
I know. Talk to your dad.
Yes. Yeah. But I think even asking the question, you know, like, let's say somebody is really wrestling with shame around masturbation. Where does that shame come from? Why do you feel ashamed? And for some people, the answer is because I feel ashamed of being sexual. I feel ashamed of having desires. Mm. And so getting to the root of that, or even is this tied into a memory of trauma or being exposed to sexual things at a very young age. And so what God wants to do is move into those places of wounding and really give us a fuller understanding of why we're sexual and how to steward our sexuality rather than just saying no to these behaviors without thinking them through.
Yes, this like discipline. I think sometimes that's the word you think of, like this behavior modification, or if I just had more discipline in this area, as opposed to what you're describing, this like fully engaging God in this area.
Yeah. And you know, sexual discipleship does require some discipline. Any form of discipleship does. So there may be times where you learn, okay, this is where I used to go whenever I'd feel lonely or anxious, I'd look for this sexual release, but I'm going to be disciplined enough to choose something that's better to comfort me and learn what I also really like doing is, I really like having a cup of tea and listening to music, or I like talking to a friend, or I like going for a run. There are other ways to get those comforting hormones that come with a sexual release. And so the discipline of learning, yes, I need comfort. Yes, I need a release. But there are more mature ways for me to pursue that.
Hey friend, I'm jumping in for a quick minute just to let you know what's happening at Authentic Intimacy and to encourage you to sign up for a membership community.
Becoming a member is a great way to get more involved with Authentic Intimacy, to get some of our resources, and to connect with like-minded people who also want to learn and grow in following God's design for sexuality. And one of the benefits of membership is that you get 25% off our online book studies. Now, registration for our spring online studies is open right now. Starting next month, we're going to have groups going through rethinking sexuality, finding the hero in your husband, passion pursuit, sex and the single girl, both in English and in Spanish, and Jonathan Daugherty's book, Grace-Based Recovery. Each study will include live weekly Zoom calls with a trained leader, a copy of the book and any associated curriculum or videos, one live Q&A session with the author of the book, and a free Java pack. Now, anyone can join an online study, but if you're an AI member, you'll get 25% off. Look for links in our show notes at AuthenticIntimacy.com to become a member and to join an online book study today. Now, back to my conversation with Hannah.
So, Julie, you're talking about this example and saying, okay, this 14, 15-year-old versus this 35-year-old and how that looks different in maturity. It looks different possibly relationally. Does this conversation change within marriage? Like, if we're talking specifically about someone who is married,
yeah,
I don't know, versus yeah. not. Like, does that add any pieces to this thought?
Sure it does. You know, the other things we've talked about are part of this, but I think masturbation is used differently in marriage, and it can be used well, and it can be used poorly. So the way it is used poorly is my spouse won't meet my sexual needs, and so I'm going to go meet them for myself. Mm-hmm. Or, man, just connecting sexually is too difficult. I can't understand my spouse. We just argue about this. And so it's easier for me just to revert back to masturbation and fantasy or pornography. And I hear this often from young married couples where they're trying to work out their sexuality, but there's so much conflict, there's so much difference in desire that they just say, we'll just take care of our own needs. Mm. That is, I would say, a sinful way of using masturbation, because God has given you the gift of sex to work towards what is it to love this person with my body? Mm. What does it look like for us to celebrate our covenant together physically? But instead of doing that hard work, you're saying, you know what? It's just easier for me to think about what I need and to get a release myself. Mm. So that's where I think masturbation becomes destructive within marriage. Mm.
Which, yeah, when you think about it in this bigger picture, instead of the hard and the fighting for it in relationship, which is always going to be more difficult,
right,
versus this individual interaction,
yeah,
when it comes to sexuality.
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
And part of realizing that self-denial is always going to be a part of stewarding your sexuality as a Christ follower. That is true of singles, and it also true of a married person. Hmm. That God doesn't say, now that you're married, you get everything you want sexually. No, and we still steward our sexual drives and desires for the purpose of glorifying God through our marriage and blessing one another. And so for me to look at masturbation as a way to, quote unquote, get my needs met, that is really contrary to the spirit of why God gave us the gift of sex.
And Julie, isn't so much about living in God's kingdom and his rule and his love radically different from the way that you just naturally think?
Yeah, it is.
Like, even as you're describing that, like, if I were to take a true or false test, like, you know, there is self-denial, or what word did you use?
Self-denial.
Okay. Self-denial mm-hmm. within sexuality and marriage. Mm-hmm. I think I would have said true, mm-hmm. but even as you're describing it, I just think, man, that goes against absolutely everything that culture tells me.
Yeah. And it goes against the way I feel like sometimes in the church, we just slap a scripture verse on the cultural belief.
So what do you mean by that?
Like, a lot of people go into marriage, a Christian marriage, thinking this is God's way of me getting whatever.
I'm about to get it on yeah, yeah. all the time.
Right. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, you just think it's going to be like,
You got the song.
Yeah, this is what it's going to be now. Like, yes. I used to have self-denial, but bring it on, baby.
Yeah, now that I'm married, no self-denial. God just wants me to.
And you understand why this question of masturbation comes up so often, Julie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially when we go in with this desire to please God and to, like, thrive within our marriage sexually.
Yes.
And when that's not happening, because it is difficult.
Right.
Here we go.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so let's talk about how masturbation could actually be a good thing in marriage.
I'm very interested to hear. Tell me all about this.
Well, I can think of a couple scenarios. First would be couples that can't be together physically. So maybe you have somebody deployed and they're away from their spouse for months and months and months and months. And they say, you know what? We want to focus on each other. We together decide and agree that this is something that we'll do together or separate, thinking about each other. And that's a way of, again, focusing on one another. Some couples will say, yeah, that's actually something that's really good for our marriage. Other couples will say, no, we don't feel like we have the freedom to do that. And that's okay. That's, you have to ask God to give you the wisdom for your marriage. But that would be a situation where I'd say, okay, that could actually be beneficial to a couple. Another way would be, let's say one of you has an illness where you can't have intercourse. And so you're physically present, but you're not able to be fully engaging in sexual intercourse together. So you might say, hey, this is a way we can share sexually without having intercourse. So you might call that outer course. But
there's a new word for today, people.
There you go. But it's a couple that's saying for emotional reasons or physical reasons, intercourse is impossible, but we want to be sexual with one another. Mm. So another thing might be even just for a woman to become aroused and to learn how she responds sexually, she might touch herself during sex so that she can become aroused. So some women feel really bad about that. They feel like this isn't the perfect picture of sex.
Yeah, I shouldn't be involved in this piece.
Yeah, but there's nothing in scripture that says that's wrong.
Man, Julie, as you're describing these areas, it makes me understand so much more of why this is such an important question to walk through instead of how you said at the very beginning, how oftentimes we just say, nope.
Yeah.
And just put shame on it when there's, especially these examples you're giving, like areas we want to be able to talk about this in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these are real life questions that people are asking.
Yeah.
And I know that because they ask me.
Because you get the questions.
Yeah. I do.
Trust me. I've read them all.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's research, this goes back to kind of the singleness question. There's research that shows that, particularly for women, if you masturbate, it actually will create more desire sexually. Mm. So there's sort of a myth that this will take care of my sexual desire. Actually, it might make it more difficult to steward. So just something to keep in mind.
I've never heard that.
The other thing that we can see through research is that women that will masturbate a lot will have more difficulty responding to their partner when they actually engage in sex. Mm. And so that's another just kind of, hey, use this wisely, consider it. And it can impact how you respond to intimacy with your spouse one day. Yeah, what do you think about all that, Hannah?
I know, I'm just sitting here thinking about it all. It's just this interesting thought, Julie, of these areas where, as you've talked about so many times, of our view of God impacting our view of sexuality. I'm just sitting here thinking, man, this is where these kind of conversations get so hard when we are not sure how to engage God in things that are not just like straightforward spiritual things, you know?
Yeah.
I think for many people, thinking about praying and even involving the word masturbation could be a new thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Praying for wisdom or, you know, I've had a couple people email me and ask me if they're widows or widowers. Like, is it okay for me to masturbate thinking about my deceased spouse?
It's a lot of levels here.
Yeah. It's just, this is real life, Hannah. and people are navigating, where's God in the midst of this? Where's his truth? And I think it's really easy to either always say no, and you're kind of slapping this legalism or shame on people that doesn't necessarily need to be there, or to always say yes, and you're giving license to something that could become sinful and destructive in their lives. Mm. And so we really need God's wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Well, on some things, God is really clear. He tells us something is right or wrong, and we just follow those rules. And there are other parts of the Christian life where we have to wrestle with principles and really seek God's wisdom for our circumstance. And as you heard today, this is one of those complicated questions that digs deeper than just a yes or no question. Most of what you've heard today is written in two blogs that I've created. They are both on our website. The first one is called Masturbation, Is It Wrong? And the second one is Masturbation a Sin? You may be asking the wrong question. Now, those blogs are also available in Spanish, and we'll link to them in our show notes at AuthenticIntimacy.com. And if you found this podcast helpful, would you leave us a rating and review in your podcast app? That's a great way for you to express your appreciation for what we're doing at Authentic Intimacy. And most importantly, it helps spread the word about the Jabba with Julie podcast and draws in new listeners who are looking for biblical answers to their questions about relationships and sexuality. And of course, we love hearing from you too. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to having coffee with you next time on Jabba with Julie.